You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers very reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
Farming has been a key economic component for this state. However, without the life's work of a Michigander from South Haven, farms in Michigan and across the nation might have evolved quite differently. Here now is the state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. And Mark, we're talking about somebody that I think a lot of people might not know the name, Liberty Hyde Bailey, but you say you're kind of a Liberty Hyde Bailey groupie?
I admit it. I'm a Liberty Hyde Bailey groupie.
All right. So who is this Michigander who changed farming?
He's been called a man for all seasons. He really was a true Renaissance man. That I think what's interesting about him is he bridged that late 19th century and early 20th century of agricultural development, which, you know, as you know, there was quite a lot of change in those time periods. But as it turns out, his approach to it wasn't always in congruence with the rest of American agricultural thought.
Many people may not have heard of Liberty Hyde Bailey, so let's start with what are some of Liberty Hyde Bailey's best-known legacies?
Notably, he helped create things like extension services at our major land-grant colleges, Penn State, Cornell, Michigan State, 4-H programs. Many people are familiar and participate in 4-H, and also credited with helping establish things like rural free delivery and rural electrification.
All right, so let's start with his childhood. Growing up in South Haven, what was that like?
He was born 160 years ago this month in 1858 in South Haven and had a little bit of a sad childhood. He was the son of a Vermont abolitionist who migrated to Michigan, Liberty Hyde Bailey Sr. He had a couple siblings, a brother and sister, Marcus and Dana, and they all contracted scarlet fever in 1861, and his sister passed that year, and then the next year his mother passed. A bit of a sad childhood, but he still flourished academically right from the get-go, from 5 years old on, to the point where he was named the lead or head ornithologist for the local society there in South Haven when he was still a teenager.
And where did he go to college, and what did he study?
He started at the Michigan Agricultural College in East Lansing, later MSU, studying botany under the famous botanist William Beale.
So botany. And what did he have in mind to do with that?
Well, so I might be jumping ahead a little bit because this is the part of him that interests me so much, but he was really interested in the science of botany and how it could help the everyman farmer in America. From MSU, he went on to study under Asa Gray at Harvard, who was the noted botanist of that time period, was there for, I believe, a couple years and did some other things. He was a journalist in Chicago, but when he said he was going back to teach at his alma mater at Michigan Agricultural College, his colleagues at Harvard said, quote, "You'll never be heard from again if you go back there," which turned out to not be true.
So what was significant about what he did? Help us understand why he matters so much in the history of agriculture.
Part of it is just the prolific nature of his research and groundbreaking discoveries in horticulture. It's probably best noted by what he said when he dedicated the first hall of agriculture at Michigan Agricultural College. In his address at that dedication, he said that botanists should jump the garden fence and bring the science of botany into the art of horticulture. You know, that sort of caused a stir because the scientific community didn't want to be dragged down in the dirt, so to speak, with the farmer. And the farmer was, I think, basically looking at this as Liberty Hyde Bailey is saying, I'm not smart enough to do what I'm doing effectively.
So what impact did he have on farmers? I guess I'm trying to get that sense. What did the work he did, how was that felt on farms, not only in Michigan, but across the country, ultimately?
Well, he brought that idea of new technology to farming. I mean, the number of handbooks that he wrote about farming is one of his key contributions. In fact, my wife's family that ran an orchard in rural Pennsylvania, their bookshelves are lined with Liberty Hyde Bailey how-to books, specifically on how to prune apple trees. So it was a very practical approach from a noted scientist to be able to help manage farms.
Basically, how to grow things better.
Yeah, how to grow things better, whether you have a garden plot or you have 80 acres.
How would you describe his agrarian ideology?
So this is my interpretation. I call it transcendental agriculture because he wrote a book called The Holy Earth, but it was very non-religious, you know, in the traditional Protestant or Catholic sense of the word. I call him the sort of the John Muir of the family farm. He was a contemporary of Muir. He was a true Jeffersonian when it came to the virtue of agriculture. He really believed firmly that our society would be at its best if we were operating on the rhythms of agriculture, using the best science, of course.
So how did actual farmers react to Bailey's notions, especially his enthusiastic, embrace of new technology?
I think there was skepticism because there was a fear of that new technology, especially around the turn of the century, would lead to centralization and overproduction.
Hmm.
And I think what's interesting about that fear of centralization and overproduction is that it actually happened. So here he was promoting science to the family farm. He was doing it because he didn't want the agriculture to be centralized and therefore create overproduction. And that's exactly what happened.
Interesting. So, and it's something that he did not envision, but that was the ultimate result. How long did it take for that to happen?
By the 1920s, he saw the handwriting on the wall. He had been appointed by Theodore Roosevelt to the Country Life Commission to try to study rural life. And by the 20s, he saw where agriculture was going with steam and gas technology getting into the fields. He sort of started to retreat. He had to choose at that point between holding up the family farm and scientific research. And he chose scientific research. He sort of retreated into academia, which at the beginning of his career was what he was trying to pull together to help the family farmer.
So it's safe to say Liberty Hyde Bailey and his theories really did change the face of farming in this country.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And that's why I'm so interested in it. It's because what he wrote in the late 19th century and early 20th century is still relevant today. And it's interesting that more people don't talk about him. And, you know, you have authors like Michael Pollan and Wendell Berry that are holding up the value of good, solid food production and the community benefits of small-scale agriculture. And actually, Wendell Berry does cite Bailey quite a bit. So without Wendell Berry talking about him, he might be completely a footnote in history. But it's interesting that he's not talked about more.
And there is a Liberty Hyde Bailey Museum, is there not?
Yeah, in South Haven, Michigan. His home site is a museum. You can learn about his time in South Haven, but also a lot about his career as a botanist and as a scientist.
The legacy of the pioneering botanist and horticulturist Liberty Hyde Bailey, who was born 160 years ago this month in South Haven. State Archivist Mark Harvey of the Michigan History Center, thank you so much for passing along your passion about Liberty Hyde Bailey.
Oh, thank you.